house today. That you will speak through me, you will open ears in this place and open eyes that people will see the truth, they'll hear the truth, and they will be changed while they're sitting here in your presence. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. How's everybody doing? This is, Lucas said it's a beautiful day, and Merritt gets up when it's sunny, every time it's sunny, and says, it's a beautiful day. And it's so adorable. It's like, you are right. But if it's not sunny, he does not say that. The kid likes to be outside, that's why. He's not unlike me in that area. You all can sit down if you would like. Or you could stand, but then I wouldn't be the only one standing. I have so many papers up here. They're bugging me. Okay. I'm a little of a neat freak, so I know this doesn't look like it, but I really am. Sorry, I keep doing that. So good morning, everyone. Good morning, our online family. We're so happy you're joining us. We're happy you are. You all look so beautiful. Well, thanks. I normally don't wear navy because I don't like it very much. And I realized today that I didn't have a navy belt. Don't look at my belt. And I didn't have a navy shirt to wear under this because it's kind of sheer. And I'm like, well, maybe black will be okay. So don't look at that either. But I'm like, wow, I have so much black because I really like black. That's a shock, I know. Isn't it? So it's just like, I did find navy shoes like a couple weeks ago, just accidentally. God doesn't do anything on accident, but. Okay. How y'all doing? So when I spoke last time, we prayed over the words of our mouth. Do you remember that? Who was here last time? Most of you. We prayed Psalms 141:3. Do y'all remember that? We prayed that God would set a guard before our mouth and keep watch at the door of our lips. Can you tell a difference? The first time nobody can tell a difference? The first time I did that, I was getting checked, as we say, by the Holy Spirit. Like, you shouldn't be saying that. Don't say that. Sometimes before it would come out, it'd be like, I can't say that. Isn't that cool how he does that? And if that's not working, then ask him to say, I was serious. You can say it out loud. I was serious when we prayed that. I want you to guard my mouth. So we say what's right. And it's so easy because we live in this world and you hear all kinds of stuff, right? All kinds of negativity, all kinds of sickness and disease, all kinds of poverty. You hear meanness. You hear all kinds of stuff. But we aren't supposed to be like the world. Amen? We are supposed to be different. So we must correct how we speak. Otherwise, we're just like everybody else. And it's hard sometimes when you're with people that you have known a long time before you were Christian, before you were saved. And it's easy to fall into that, but we don't want to do that because we want to progress. Amen? Okay, let me find... I had two places to start, and I think the first one is the one I'm supposed to use, so hold on a second. We're going to go back to the beginning. I was thinking, it's probably the Holy Spirit telling me this, that we should go back to the beginning and see why our words are so important. If I could turn this page, it would help. Okay. So let's do that. Are you okay with that? John 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Y'all heard this scripture? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Without him, the Word was Jesus. He was there the whole time. But he's the one that spoke the Word. How cool is that? That's why it's so important. Without him, nothing was made that was made. There wasn't anything that was a surprise. He spoke everything into existence, everything. And God said it was good. And I just got this thought. I wonder who said it was good. Did Jesus say it was good or did God say it was good? Either way, it's okay, right? Okay. We're going to jump down to verse 10. He was in the world, he, Jesus, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you became born again, you weren't born of human nature, you were born of God. So you're not the same. Isn't that awesome? So everything changed on the inside of us. We still look the same. Maybe we cleaned up ourselves a little bit. But what changed was we were dead, and now we're alive to God. Cool, huh? So Jesus spoke that all into existence. Thank you, Lord. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. He was the Word in the beginning, and then he gave his beautiful life with God in heaven to come here and take care of us. Isn't that awesome? And there's a lot of stuff to learn all about that, because him speaking the word, he did it. He spoke everything that was made into existence. That includes us. I love that. And it's, let's see, the end of 16, the scripture says, no one has seen God. It is verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's the only one. But when he came, there's another translation that words this different, and I don't think I have. Maybe I do have it. Let me look. I might have it. Let me see. These pages don't like me today. They're sticking. Okay, I think this is Message, or Amplified. It's probably Amplified. No one, verse 18, no one has seen God, his essence, his divine nature at any time. The one and only begotten Son, that is the unique Son who is in the intimate presence of the Father. He has explained him and interpreted and revealed the awesome wonder of the Father. So by watching what Jesus did, what he said, how he healed, everything that he did, now you know who the Father is. You know what he's like. Because no one has ever seen him. We'll see him in heaven, but no one has ever seen him. But you do see him because he's the express image of God. Isn't that cool? So a lot of times, you know, people go, well, I don't know what he's really like. He's mean. He causes things. No, he doesn't. He's not. Because if you look at Jesus, you know he didn't. Jesus didn't do anything bad. He didn't hurt people. He loved and he healed and he taught them and he spoke truth. He didn't talk like we have. And that's why it's so important to learn how to be like him, to speak like him. And all he did was speak the word. Amen? That's why the word is so important. And that's why it's really important that we clean up our act and do better. You know, let the Holy Spirit guide you in where you go and what you say and what you do, because he will. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to get in line. That's all it is. In Genesis, we talked about this last couple weeks ago, that how God did, he created everything was by his word. He spoke it into existence. And then he said, it is good. Everything he did was good. Amen. That's Genesis 1. And many scriptures. Okay, Hebrews 11:3 is sort of like what we just read. By faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, universe, ages were framed and created, formed out in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. He didn't accept Adam, he made him out of clay, and Eve, but everything else wasn't here. He made it with his word. We can do that too. We can speak a word. We can speak health to people. We can speak health to our own self because it's already done according to what Jesus said on the cross, right? Do you remember that? When he gave up his life, he said, "It is finished." And that meant it was complete. Everything was done that he came to do. So we're not waiting. We're not waiting for God. He already did it. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? He already did it. So exciting. Did I just give you that? No. Here's another one that I really like. It's basically in the same vein, but I think it's good. Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that means he's exact, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he spoke, God spoke through him, but Jesus spoke all of it. Isn't that awesome? And he is the express image of God the Father. So awesome. So he spoke the worlds by speaking, and he was just like God, only he was the Word. So awesome. Is that mind-boggling? That he spoke everything into existence just then, in Genesis. Genesis 1, at the very beginning. And then Genesis 1:27, if I jump around, I'm sorry, I have a lot of notes up here. Mercedes wasn't kidding when she said I have a lot, but four different stacks. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We were created in his image. Like Jesus was his express image, we're supposed to be getting closer to being like him all the time, because he created us that way. Adam and Eve jacked that up, right? I'm going to slap them when I get to heaven. Both of them. I'm going to slap both of them. But he created us, created man in his own image. Isn't that? That is another one that's like mind-boggling. But how he speaks, we're supposed to do that. And we can do that. How he lived, how he healed. We're supposed to be so confident. Because of the way we walk and how we believe God, we're supposed to be as confident as Jesus was. And know that when we speak to someone who needs healing, it happens. When you get prayed for, you need to believe it happened. You know, we talked about that last time. I mean, when I pray for people, I hope this works this time. I don't think that at all. I know it works. I've been there. I know it works. And you need to get to that place where you're so solid in the truth that it works. And don't be afraid to pray for whatever it is that you need prayer for. I mean, it's there. It's already there. It's finished, right? This is another way how God talks. This is Romans 17. As it is written in Scripture, I have made you a father of many nations, talking about Abraham. In the sight of him who calls, in the sight of him, he believed that God, I am sorry, I will start that over. In the sight of him in whom he believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. He calls into being. He called a son into their life. There was no son. They were really old. I don't know if I'd want a kid at being 100, but I don't think so. I don't think I'd want to go through that. Anybody? But if you were believing for one, if you wanted one, then God would do it. He would make it happen. Because that happens, so why can't it happen again? I mean, it's written down for a reason. So God, how he speaks, he calls into being that which does not exist in the natural. He calls it, and it has to obey. Isn't that awesome? He speaks and things happen. We should speak and things should happen. But you want to speak the right stuff. You know, we talked about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. There is a law, and they both work. And we don't want to speak the law of death, right? I don't want that in my life. Not ever. But the law of life, that's who we are. We're from his life. We have the same ability to speak those things, speak life into our life. Wow, you guys should be just shouting right now. It's exciting. It is so exciting. And this one, I think that we used this last week or last time, but we're going to do it again. Isaiah 55:11. This is another way that God believes about his word and talks. So will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. That means useless or without a result. It can't. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It can't fail. That's what that says. His word, if we're speaking his word and we believe, because when you talk and you talk all kinds of nonsense, you don't really believe what you want. I mean, when you're okay, so you talk like a worldly person and you say all kinds of stuff, and now I need a miracle. Now I got it. But you don't believe it because you've been talking negative. That's why this is so important. So it's hard to get what you're praying for or believing for when you've been saying, I'm just always going to be having lack. I'm never going to have anything. My house is falling apart. My car is dead in the driveway. God, I need a new car. Do you really believe you're going to get one when you just talk crazy all the time? You don't, because you're saying what you have and not saying what you are praying for, what you desire, what you need. You're saying what you have. And we have to stop it. It is hard at first, but if you got the Holy Spirit keeping guard at your mouth, I mean, that makes a ton of difference. All the difference. How are we doing so far? Okay. Jesus, he knew his word never returned void. He walked through crowds that wanted to kill him. It wasn't his time. He walked right through them like they couldn't even see him. Like Mercedes said, hidden in plain sight. He was hidden in plain sight, and he knew that it wasn't his time because they could not have killed him unless it was his time. They couldn't have. He laid his life down. They didn't really kill him. He gave his life. He gave it. So, and he knew that. He knew this all along. So we have to get to be like that because we are his image, made in his image. Amen? So stop saying what you have. Start saying what you desire. And that is, I might be almost ready for you, Howie. Okay, yes. So I'm going to ask Howard to come up. He has a really cool testimony. It's kind of several years, but it's worth it. So you can come up. You can just come here. It goes really well with Mark 11:23.
Hi. Okay, so real quick, what you want to talk about is happened about 15, 16 years ago, roughly, maybe a little bit more. As you, most of you know, we lived on a small acreage 60 acres up north of Magnolia, Iowa. We had chickens, all sorts of animals. We had a chicken that was blind in one eye. The kids loved this chicken. It was wintertime, and it was getting just beat up outside. So the kids brought the chicken in the house, and Denise said that was okay. I wasn't okay with that. She was okay with it. I came home from work one day, and the chicken was running around in the kitchen on the floor, okay? I know. And I was kind of upset, and I got up, and I put a chair underneath the table. Well, when I did that, the chicken was under the chair, and I broke its neck because it was between two chairs. And it's, I mean, when I did it, I was like, oh, no. That's where the story gets better. So Jim Hockaday had just been here. We'd all been up there listening to Jim Hockaday talking about healing and so forth. And I'm like, oh, no. Victoria goes, no. And she reached down and grabbed the picnic. We can heal it. And I'm like, yeah, you can. You don't want me to touch it because right now I'm not believing for it. But they did. They started praying for the chicken. All of a sudden, the chicken started moving around and everything. Now, people go, how do you know that chicken was actually dead and was healed? Well, I knew what eye was blind on that chicken. The reason they brought him in because he's getting picked on because she couldn't see out of that one eye. So I walked up to it and went, so its eye was healed also. Now, the only bad part is, 4 months later, a coyote got it. But the chicken came back to life. And Mr. Hockaday knew about that, and it was on one of his records, or CDs, if you wanted to find out.
Isn't that awesome? So you can even pray for your animals. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if I'd pray for a chicken, but if it's a pet, you know, we eat those, don't we? Anyway, so Mark 11:23, you probably already know this, and 24. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. I don't think that's 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. There's some really big keys in those two scriptures. You speak it, you believe it, you receive it. So the girls had such faith because they had just heard about it, and their beloved bird got smushed. But then he was okay. So you can. This scripture, you should put it on your mirror or put it in your car or write it somewhere and look at it all the time, because this is so important. It gives you the blueprint of how to speak and believe and receive. It's really good. It's so good. Okay, wasn't that a good story? All right, so let's keep going. Revelation 12:11, and they conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony, for they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death. So they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by their utterance, or their speaking about their testimonies. Testimonies like that are so vital. That's what grabs other people. And I'll bet you when he told it to some people, they're like, right. But don't stop. Keep talking. Keep witnessing. Keep saying your testimony, because it will get to somebody and it will change their life. Amen? So they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Isn't that cool? I love it. I love it. I love it. This is another cool scripture. Is cool a good word to use these days? I don't know what's cool anymore. Is that cool? Okay, because the teenagers make up other stuff. It's like, I cannot keep up with that. Don't want to either. Okay, Psalm 17:3-4. You have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and find nothing, no evil purpose in me. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent, the paths of the destroyer. Isn't that a great scripture? I guess that was the end of it. Sometimes the goes to the next page. You have proved my heart. You have proved that I'm what I say I believe. That's so important that you believe what you say. And you visited me in the night, and you tried me and found nothing, no evil in me. Can we all say that? That's what I want to say. I don't want any evil. I don't want anything that doesn't glorify God in my heart or in my life. And we all could say that. And we all could think like, ugh. I swear, Don't raise any hands. But concerning the works of men, which that is thrown in there, by your word, the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways, because they listen to the word of God. And it is like a course correction every time you read it, isn't it? So good. And the last part, I've avoided the ways of the violent because I've given heed to your word. That is like, this is like a dynamite. This is worth $1 million or more. Innumerable amount of money. It's such good. This, you should write this too. You're going to have your walls full of scriptures. I think Joyce does have her walls full of scriptures. I'm sure. Okay, now this is about Jesus. This is what he said, John 14:30. For the prince of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. Can we say that? We can, because Jesus set us free, and his blood cleansed us. So we can say it too. That's so cool. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. This must be amplified. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. Write this one. Put this on your wall too. This is a good one, isn't it? I'm sure it's amplified. He has nothing. There's nothing in common with him that's in me. How cool is that? I love it. I guess that's my favorite word for the day. Nothing in me belongs to him. There's nothing, because I belong to Jesus, to God. So there's nothing. And you know what? He is such a big, fat liar. He will tell you, oh, yeah, I know what you did yesterday. I know what you did 5 years ago. There's a scripture, and I don't have it for you, but it says the handwriting that was on the wall over your life, Jesus erased it with his blood. It's gone. It's not there. He can tell you you did something. He can pull it up. And you're like, God doesn't know what you're talking about. It's been erased. It is perfectly clean. There's not even a speck of chalk on that. Not even. Isn't that awesome? And the devil does like to do that. You know, I know what you said. I know what you did. I know what you thought. Shut up. You don't know anything. Show it to me. Show me where it's written. Show me. It's not. Ha ha. Yeah. Oh my. Here's another good one, in the same vein. 1 Peter 2:22-23. Talking about Jesus. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit or guile ever found on his lips. Not one time. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. And he could have. He couldn't have. That would have canceled what he did. He couldn't have. You got to think about that. Don't cancel by saying the wrong thing. He was abused and suffered. He made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. He didn't stand up for himself because he didn't need to. Because he was perfect. There was no sin. There was no anything rotten in him. Not even a little thought. You know, sometimes we get hit with thoughts. He didn't pay any attention to them. We shouldn't either. Just because a thought comes in your head doesn't mean it's yours. Mm-hmm. You got to cast it down. Don't play with it. Because if you do... And I'm not perfect at this, because sometimes it's just like, I've been playing with that for 2 minutes. or longer. And it's like, I am so sorry, erase that. I don't ever want that in my head again. And you have to do that. You have to correct your own self. Because the devil can throw anything, thoughts. That's all he can do. He can't do anything else. He doesn't have power anymore, right? So he throws thoughts and condemnation and crap like that. And we just say to him, that's okay to say in church, right? Well, Brandon said poop the other day. And other things, but that's okay. But he does, because he doesn't have anything else. He has no weapons. He doesn't have anything but deceit and lies, right? So if you know that, and you can tell, because if it's a thought about life and life more abundantly, or if it's a thought that's, you know, sickness, disease, blah, 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 all the other garbage, then you know where it came from, right? So you could just tell him to shut up. You shut up. I don't want to hear that. You can't make me hear that. You have to get violent sometimes. You know? Not with people. Well, sometimes, maybe. But when the devil's throwing yuck at you, you have to. Don't take it. Psalms 39:1. I said I will take heed and guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will muzzle my mouth as with a bridle while the wicked are before me. That's really what Jesus did. He didn't speak. He didn't say, you're going to get it. He didn't say anything. And he could have called angels down. He could have. But he knew what the plan was. He knew. And thank God he didn't give up. We can't give up either, because we have to get to where we're supposed to be. And if we quit, if we give up, if we, it's like, it's never going to happen. Well, not now, it isn't. Don't quit. Don't quit. Okay, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing good on time. Okay. Psalms 103:20 talks about the angels. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, Mercedes has talked about this quite a bit, about the angels. And if we don't speak the word over our situation, they're just, I feel bad for them, they're bored. It's like, I'd help you, I'm supposed to help you, and I want to help you, but they can't come for negative words. You don't want them to. You want to speak the word, even positive words. You need to speak the word. If you don't know what it is, look up. You have a concordance, or, you know, you can ask Suri these days, and she can tell you where the scriptures are. I do that sometimes, like, I can't find it, and then how does she know it? But she does. Or he does. I don't know. I guess it's a girl. I don't know. Kind of, sort of. Not really. So, taking this through, it's like, no, it's a machine. It's not a girl. Okay. So, the angels hearken to his commandments and to the voice of his word. So, that's a good thing to get in our mouth and speak that a lot. So, if the angels hearken to the word of God, what do demons hearken to? They hearken to all the negativity and all the stuff that doesn't line up with the word of God. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're trained to do, just like the angels are trained to hearken to God's word. So, oh boy, don't lose the bad guys. Don't do that. There's a scripture, and I only have part of it, but you probably all maybe know the scripture. It's Daniel 10:12 and all the stuff around it, what was going on. And Daniel prayed and ask for help, ask for angels, and it didn't. I think it took 21 days. Anybody know the story? And you know what it said, what God said? I have come in response to your words. There was a fight, though, in the heavenlies. There was a fight. And they still came, though. So sometimes, just because you don't see your answer doesn't mean it's not coming. It's on its way. You speak in the word, they come. They totally come. So make sure your words, don't give up on what you've asked for, what you've spoken. All right? Because it will come. That took 21 days. Shoot, a lot of people have waited lots longer than that. You still get your answer, though. We just can't see what's going on, right? We can't see what's in the heavenlies going on, the fight that's there. All right, this is Jeremiah 5:14. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but I think they're good. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold God's word. He makes it a fire, like a torch. That's what I see. It just clears stuff out of your way. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I don't know why I have blank pages in here, but I do. Another scripture, let's see. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. This has always been such a powerful scripture. When we got married, we don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed and go to sleep mad. Don't do that. It ruins your sleep and you wake up mad and it's just like, we did it a couple of times. It's like, that is not a fun thing. You wake up and you're so mad. Give the devil no place. If you do that, you're giving him place. There's a lot of other ways you can give the devil place, but that is for sure one. Don't go. You can be angry, it says, but don't sin. You ever get mad and you just walk away? I'm sure Jesus wasn't happy a few times. He didn't say anything. So it's important. You can be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed ticked off. It's just not a good thing. Because you give the devil place. You open a door, as they say. You open a door for the devil, and then you have a mess to clean up. So it's not a good thing. And it's like, I'm so mad, I don't want to talk to you right now. But you can't do that. You've got to come together and work it out. You do. It'll pay off for you. I promise. It totally will. Let's me think. I think I gave this to you last time, but I don't know if I had the scripture. Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying. I won't read the rest of that scripture, but how you take a thought by saying it, speaking it out your mouth. So don't say it. Don't give in to that. That gives the devil place too. Okay, let's see. I gave you that one. Oh, this is a fun one. 1 Peter 3:9-10. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, or deceit. We're not supposed to talk about stuff like that, right? Or call people names, or, you know what? Even if you are just saying it to yourself, you're still doing it. Whether they hear you or not, you hear yourself, you're still doing it. Mumbling, because I'm stupid, you know. You're not supposed to do that. Keep your lips free from that. And that's just giving thought to, or giving power to a thought if you do that. Because that's where it's coming from, thoughts. You guys okay? Okay. All right. Psalms 34:12-13. What man is he who desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? I think all of us. I think all of us want that. Well, this is how you do it. Keep your tongue from evil. and your lips from speaking deceit. An evil, I know, you want good days, you want long life, many days, see good. We all want that. Evil here was distress, grief, sorrow, trouble, wrong, spoil. Spoil's not a good thing. To make or be good for nothing, to bring evil, and then it says, etc. So you could just kind of add all that. So keep your tongue from all of those things, from evil and deceit. And I would guess that lying is in that, wouldn't you? That's deceit. I think lying is in there. So try not to do that. I take it back. Don't do that. Don't lie. Don't try. Do it. Do it. Don't do it. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That's a good one. We all want that. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth keeps his life. You keep your life. Who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. These should be easier to open. I always open it, try to open it backwards. Psalms 19:14. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my redeemer, let the word of my mouth. This is a prayer like we did last time that you can pray over yourself, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That's what we want. We want to meditate on what's right, what's good, what's pure, what's righteous. That's what we should be thinking about and meditating on instead of all the other stuff. What they said, what they didn't say. You know, somebody's rude. You know, people are rude sometimes. Sometimes it's not even on purpose, you know? They're really not. I told you a story last week about a lady who was, I'm never coming back because Pastor Jim didn't say hi to me. Okay, see ya. I mean, some things are just too ridiculous to even give it any chance to think about. Okay, Psalms 119, I think. We're almost done with this. 119:11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's how you don't sin. You put the word in. Put it in your heart. Meditate on the word. That will keep you. That's a safety net right there. This one I already gave you, and this one, I'm looking for specific, pardon, need more water. Some of these are repeats, I guess, of what I already gave you. Sorry about that. Yeah, I've given you, so I know what I need to do. Get these guys out. Go to Trusty here. This one has so many definitions in it, and it's not in my computer. I don't know why, but it's not. And so it's a lot of work because I don't have a Bible app anymore that lets you look up words. Well, I do. I have Strong's on my iPad, but my iPad is finicky and doesn't let me do a lot of stuff, so I don't like it very much. Okay. This one is very sorry. I'm going to drink some of my tea, see if I can get this to stop. Don't ever get one of these. You get trickles. It doesn't really open, so it's like, this is helpful. I grabbed it because I thought it was okay, and it's really not. It's like drip, drip, drip. Thank you very much. Okay. James 3:2 is pretty long, but it's very important, I think, just to help you understand more, and you probably already do, but for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, Jesus, able also to bridle the whole body. So our words help us, if we do it right, it's like a horse bridle. You can take them anywhere and they will follow you. Isn't that amazing that they'll let you do that? And they're so big, but they obey. So our tongue does that. If we talk right, it bridles our whole body. It keeps us out of trouble. So behold, we put, verse 3, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. I was on a cruise ship, and it's like, how do they get that to turn like that? It's just a tiny little thing, apparently. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's why this is so important to be aware of what we're saying and to check ourselves, like, don't say that. That's not what I want in my life. Have you ever done that? Have you started it? It's like, oh, I'm just saying the facts. That's what people will say. I'm just stating the facts. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. It is a fact, but it's not truth. The word is truth. That people are like, well, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean. I'm just stating the facts. Okie dokie. That's not working for you very well, I can tell. So for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Yikes. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And that's just like a whole boy, ouch. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. So we shouldn't be doing that. We're speaking, we're blessing God, and then get in the parking lot and somebody pulls in front of you and you're like, you, oh, I don't know what I was going to say, but you sucker or something. Like, you know, we shouldn't be like that because we're talking two different ways. And we've all done it. We've all been there. And then God's really pulling me back, like, You can't talk like that. Like, I know. Do you all remember when Jim got born again, the story he told us so many times, playing basketball? Do y'all remember that? And he had a foul mouth, apparently. I didn't hear anything like that, thank God. But he would play and somebody would bump him or trip him or, you know, elbow him, and like, la, la, la. And then God said, I'm not going to say what he said, because, and then God pulled him over. Everybody ran back to the other end of the, what I would say field, but it's not, it's a court. And, because I don't care. I really don't. It would help so I could talk to you better about it, but I really don't care. And the Holy Spirit said, You can't do that, because now we're together. You can't speak like that. And he's like, oh, you're right. And so he stopped. But a lot of times people, you know, that's what they do on basketball fields. And they do. They talk like that, you know, in a lot of other places. They talk like that. And he would always, if they were, you know, saying, God damn you, or, you know, stuff like that, he'd go, he's not the dammer. He's, praise the Lord. And they were just like, would you shut up? He goes, no, you're not shutting up. So why should I shut up? So he did that. And it's like, he was pretty bold. But they didn't get mad at him. They were all, you know, they were friends. They still kept playing. So we got to learn to be like that, to not let things just happen, not tell them you're wrong, you're going to hell because you talk like that, but give them an alternative. You know, that's what he did. And I'm sure they got tired of it, but some of them started doing it too. Some of them did. They're like, I can say that too. It's like, go for it. So, yeah. Okay. A lot of these I did last week. So I did want to repeat this one. This scripture is, they're all amazing, but this one really has changed my life. It's so good. You ready for it? Some of you heard it last week and some of you didn't. So it's Matthew 12. It is 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So out of the abundance, it's like whatever you're putting in there, it's whatever your deposit, it's what it literally means, the deposit that you're allowing to go in. And that's by what we see, what we hear, what we do, what we listen to. It's really important that you're careful, that you're not allowing garbage being dumped into your heart, that's what's in there the most, because that's what will come out. It will come out your mouth. And that's very true. So be careful. You know, if you're watching, there's so many movies that are just, and TV shows that are just garbage. And they always sneak stuff in there. And have you ever got caught? Now with Merritt, we fast forward. Still, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't want him to see that. But they sneak stuff in with commercials too. And he's like, oh, yuck. It's like, close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes. And it's like, sorry, honey. But whatever you're allowing to go in comes out your mouth. If you put the word in, that will come out your mouth. It can't help it. If you put garbage in, that's going to come out. You're going to start talking weird and stupid and saying just a bunch of negative stuff. We don't want that, right? So that's what that meant. I'll finish, I'll keep reading, and then I'll tell you what mouth means, and some of you have already know, but a good man out of the good treasure or deposit of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You can't help it, because that's just, it just does. If you have evil treasure, you're going to get, or bad fruit, you could say that too. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified to render just or innocent. I like that, don't you? And by thy words thou shalt be condemned or pronounced guilty. So that's a fruit. You know, where the Bible says that you'll know them by their fruit. That's a big one right there. They'll know how, if you talk nice and you speak the word, that's a good fruit. If you're cussing and you're lying and belittling people and causing all kinds of uproar, that's not a very good fruit. And people will be like, no, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. You go home. I don't want to talk to you. So mouth here is a very important word. You think, yeah, I know what it is. That's how you talk. But what it meant in the Greek, it meant a mouth, literally, a mouth, language, which, you know, is good language, bad language. Figuratively, an opening in the earth. I don't quite understand that one. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe that's it. I'm guessing on that. That's probably right, though. But specifically, the front or edge of a weapon, that is your mouth. It can be a good weapon, or it could be a bad weapon. Just depends on what's coming out of it. Because you can hurt somebody so deeply. And you remember the old saying? We probably all could just repeat it. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so false. That is not true. Words probably dig deeper than anything. Because it's hard to forget. And it, you can forget with God's help, but it is hard. So that's a bad weapon. You know, you can cut somebody apart with your horrible words, or you can build them up. Yeah. So that's a good weapon. So I think that's really good. You guys look kind of like, isn't that good? I think it's really good. But it gives you another way of how the scripture says to speak good fruit, to speak good words, to have a good deposit, and don't let the other thing come out. A lot of times we just need to shut our mouth, right? And not say anything. Sometimes that's the smartest thing to do, for real. Like, I can't get those words back. Yeah. Okay, let me think. We're close. Already gave you that one and that one. Here we go. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That just means don't stop speaking the right thing. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't speak fear. Don't speak doubt. Don't talk about what you have that you wish you didn't have. Talk about what you are believing for and call it in. That's what God did. He called it in. Jesus spoke it into existence. We could do that too. Why not? Because we're like him. We're made in his image, so why can't we? The Bible wouldn't say it if we couldn't. Right? I'm telling myself too. But it's so important. Don't stop. Hold fast to it. Don't quit. What if Daniel would have just given up on the angels coming to help him? 21 days. I mean, that's not forever, but that's kind of long if you're desperate. He kept talking the right thing because they did come. Had he stopped, they would not have come. Right? So don't quit. It might be just the next thing. It might be next second or next minute. It might be tomorrow. Don't quit. Keep your confession. Keep it solid. Keep it going. We did that with Jim. We didn't get the same outcome that we were believing for, but it's not a bad one. He's with the Lord, so. His soul isn't lost. So that's not a bad outcome. It's either here or there. And we didn't give up. He didn't give up. There's just some things that you don't know, right? And I'm not mad about it. I'm not going to let that happen. I don't question it. I'm not going to let that happen. Because then it messes with you, with your faith. You know, you can't question or get mad. A lot of people are. They're just mad. God gets blamed for things that he has nothing to do with. For real. And that makes me mad. But I'm not going to yell at everybody about that. Okay, do you want to hear one that's pretty... I got to find it. I think I went past it. Did that one. This is out of the Message Bible, and I just think it's kind of cool the way they said it. It's Matthew 12, 33 through 37. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree, right? Tells you that it's sick. You have minds like a snake pit. I think that's so funny. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? Is your heart not your, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. So again, what's in there in abundance? It's our heart that gives the meaning. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless, I've got to get this sticker, of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, and words can also be your damnation. And that's out of the Message. I don't always like the Message, but I thought that was a really good way of saying that. It's a pretty tough way of saying that, but it's just like, ugh. Okay. I think that I'm almost finished here. I'm just making sure that I didn't leave anything out. Oh, yeah, this is important. Then I'll be finished. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That's why he's faithful. If he promised it, he's faithful. It will happen if we don't give up and if we keep holding fast. Sorry, here's my trickle. Don't stop confessing. Really apologize. It's a little dry spot right there. Hebrews 4. Do I want to read this one? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold it fast. Keep saying it. Almost the same as the other scripture. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He went through. It says all points. My word, all of them. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we say what God says, he takes them and does something with them. And the angels go to work on our behalf. How cool. His word can't fail. It can't return void. Never, ever, ever. How amazing is the word of God. And how amazing is God that every little detail. And we learned to say this, you know, when sometimes things happen, like something breaks down or something bad happens, it's like, this didn't surprise God. He saw it. You just got to lean in to him. Just lean into him, and he will get you through it. He will get you through it with a scripture or several scriptures or somebody give you a word. Be careful about words, though. Don't just receive anything. And the Bible does say to try those spirits. Don't listen to a lot of things. I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe somebody's told them something that's kind of goofy. And sometimes words aren't goofy, but sometimes they're not yours. You know? So don't receive without checking it out. That makes sense? Because when we were first married, there was this young man that, I can't remember what it was. It was something he wanted us to give money into. I can't remember what it was. And it's like, it sounded good. It sounded good. And the Holy Spirit said to Jim, don't associate, it's in Proverbs or Psalms, with people given to change. And this guy jumped from one thing to another all the time. And it's like, nope, we're out. Sorry, but thanks, we're not. Mm-mm. So, you know, you gotta listen to the Holy Spirit too. because he doesn't steer you wrong, that's for sure. Okay, I think that I'm just looking to make sure I didn't leave anything out, and I don't think that I did. Okay, I think we're done for today. Did that help anybody? Good, good. You know, it helped me too. That's what's cool, because I've already tried this. And just because you think you've got it doesn't mean you have it, because obviously we're people. And you just have to keep going and keep working at it. But don't do it alone. Get the Holy Spirit involved. Because even some things that you think are okay, you shouldn't be saying that. It's like, I thought that was okay. Not. So stay in tune with him, because he is so awesome. He is so awesome. If you have never been spirit-filled or born again first, I'd like to offer that to you today. The Holy Spirit is here. If you are born again and you never spoke in tongues and you would like to, we'll pray with you. It is the coolest thing. It's not demonic like some religions teach. He is not demonic. He is still here working. He never quit. He can't quit, because this isn't over yet, right? But the Holy Spirit, is praying in the Spirit, is one of the greatest tools we've been given. And it's so important to have it. There were so many times going through all this with Jim that's the only word we could say, you know? And you probably have been there where places like, I don't know what to say. So pray in the Spirit. And a lot of times you will get the answer while you're doing that. Pretty much every time. Yeah. So it's very important. Anybody? This is a good time. If you're not born again, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, we can close our eyes for the rest of your life. It'll change everything. Does anybody want to give their life to God today? You can raise your hand. Okay. If anybody would like to receive the Holy Spirit, would you come down front? So you all have the Holy Spirit? Okay. We thank you, Father, for your word today. We thank you so much, Lord. Please use it in our lives. Please fill it. Fill us so full of the word that we never forget about it, that it just bubbles out of us, Father God. And the Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. And you bring all things back to our remembrance at the perfect time when we need them. We thank you for that. We thank you for everything.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.